Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Lefchuk.
Thank you. 24 degrees centigrade is the high today, 70 degrees centigrade is the low. It's a cloudy start, yes, I think we've identified that, with occasional rain, slowly brightening up with an afternoon of sunny spells. So great news as far as that's concerned. And somebody always brings sunny spells to the listener and indeed her blog readers and her whole fashionista scenarios. We were talking last night, of course, with Kaylee Carr about her wanting to do a fashion blog. She would need to speak to the guru of fashion blogging. She is. Basically, he's got a finger on the pulse of fashion across the globe, basically. Who could we be referring to, Ed Wellman?
To Sophia Back. Good
Yay!
Morning.
Sophia Back is back with us. I couldn't resist it. How are you, Sophia? Okay?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent.
What an introduction, as usual.
Well, did you? I think it's the first time you've been on the show this year.
Oh, you sound sleepy, Sophia.
Yeah, have you been partying down once again, Sophia? Has it been a case of I'm in London, I'm just going to rock and roll, my girl?
Of course,
as usual. Yeah. So go on, talk to us about what you were doing last night. You know, what has kind of brought this, I mean, obviously, you know, within legalities here, but you've got total faith in her, clearly. What sort of things were you actually covering over the last 12 hours?
Just a press day for a fashion brand called Dover & Hall. They're a jewellery brand. So just a little press soiree, that's all.
A little press soiree, etc. I don't know. So, I mean, you've obviously worked for Vogue, Italian Vogue. You've covered the European scene, etc. Originally, you're from Eastern Europe, from that wonderful country called?
Ukraine.
The Ukraine, etc. Yes. Now, is that something where when you look at the Ukraine, you think, I wish we had royals like Prince William and obviously the Duchess of Cambridge as well, Kate.
Oh,
yes.
Of course.
So, I mean, or was it a case you thought this is insane? This is like, you know, Gianni Versace's latest sort of offerings, if he were still alive, of course. But in terms of that, what were your thoughts on the recent coverage of the royal nativity?
I mean, interesting. The whole country was watching and. Mm. It's pretty exciting.
Well, that's okay. It's just I wasn't sure. You might sort of think, yes, well, you know, there are other things that are actually happening. Talk to us about a week in the life of Sophia Shosonovich. What sort of things are lined up? I mean, once you've woken up today, and hopefully this call is helping with that, you know, just working on that, what sort of things will you be covering from, or will you already be planning your next trip up to Lincoln to actually talk to the students about how to be a blogger extraordinaire?
I'm definitely planning the next trip to Lincoln.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, this is good. Yes.
And. Recently, I mean, I've been traveling more than usual, so I've sort of switched over to travel versus fashion. It's been interesting.
Okay, so I'm looking at your page on Facebook, and I'm seeing lots and lots of photographs. Tragically, this time, Ed, she hasn't, as far as I recall, put on the notion that she's live on sirenonline.co.uk and can be accessed throughout the world. I don't know, maybe she hasn't got somebody to actually blog for her on that particular basis. But what, in terms of travel, are you looking at global travel, European travel, interplanetary travel, extragalactic? Where have we been traveling to?
It's been European recently, yes.
You can't just say European. It's a big country. Look at the Eurovision Song Contest. Even Israel's part of that. Which countries?
I've been to Scotland, and before then I was in Spain and just Barcelona. Before that I was in Turkey and France earlier this year. So just recently it just happened to be a lot of travel in the cards. Germany, went on a little road trip.
That makes sense. Almost as much travel as William Sitwell gets into, although he tends to jump between the joys of Italy, Spain and Dubai on various other areas. Ed, any questions for yourself about Sophia, her life and times?
Yeah, Sophia, as we head into the autumn and winter this year, I'm a 40-year-old bloke. What do I need to be wearing? What's going to
Very
be...
Very old indeed,
you know,
Sophia.
What should I be putting on my Christmas list from my nearest and dearest this year?
Handkerchiefs. And socks.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I always say that you should be wearing whatever you feel most comfortable in. So basically...
Caftan?
I really hate to be specific because I'm not a trend person. I'm more of a, you know, yes, trends are there for inspiration and whatnot, but it's great to sort of wear whatever makes you feel confident. So if you like, you know, wearing a lot of black, then go ahead and wear a lot of black if you like, you know.
Okay, well, I'm so glad to have your approval because I think I'm committing fashion crime this morning in that I've got light trousers, a turquoise polo shirt, and then bright orange socks. But it makes me feel good. Is this okay, isn't it?
Well, that could be cool. That could look great. I can't see it, but it could look fantastic.
We haven't switched the webcam on, but I suspect you might not have pressed the button on webcam, but we'll get that sorted. Sophia, last night we were talking with Suzanne Watkins and indeed Kayleigh Carr, and we kind of generally decided that one of the things which is just should not be allowed is for men in particular to go topless when the weather gets hot. I mean, I just don't think it's a good look at all. I mean, any thoughts on that one as we wrap up our sequence?
Well, depending on where they are.
Where they are. Well, I just think wandering around the streets of Lincoln, it's not good to actually sort of just take your top off in any way, shape, or form. It's just a thought, though. Maybe it's just a personal thing.
Really? Well, what if you're by the river? I mean, it's all about the dress code at the end of the
day, isn't it? Yeah, what if you're in a naturist colony? It's a tough call, really, but still, you know, maybe we just hold on that.
What, so, in the park? Acceptable?
Oh, I'm sensing some disagreement
this
factor here.
Exactly. Yeah, it's
each to their own. It's
precisely.
Good.
I don't think Richard Kiebel ever said Sofia Shoshanovich was actually one to take her top off in the middle of City University, but yeah, who knows? It's a definite thought. Ed, last two questions for Sofia so we can fit in a little blast of Katie Grimmison before we go to Penny Mansfield and Dr. Simon Moore.
Indeedy. So, Sofia, have you had a reasonably interesting link with us telephonically this morning?
Absolutely, as always.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again sometime before too much longer?
Certainly.
Thank you.
You'll wake up shortly. Have a great day, Sophia. It's an important thing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's important.
Have a great day, everyone.
High time Carol Decker was back on the show, and we'll be moving to that effect very shortly, no doubt, to power the first, and some might say greatest number, China in Your Hand notwithstanding, and Secret Garden and all the other Tapao classics. Meanwhile,
Katie Grimmison, Birmingham's Gift to the Galaxy on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM and more.
Yes, isn't that right, Katie? Yes, good morning. Good morning, Katie. So what's life like in Birmingham, and did your mother let you back in the house after we dropped you off on Saturday?
She wanted to come out and say hello to you and Ed.
Yeah, well, we waited and waited and waited, but there was no show whatsoever. You see, there we are. Sharon had the opportunity, but her daughter prevented us from meeting the boys. Never mind.
Anyway, morning, Grimmy.
Morning.
Have you been catching the show? Did you catch some of yesterday's stuff? Are you going to go online? Or is it a case of, no, I'm working too hard for Radio Warwickshire these days?
Well, I can multitask, so I've been listening online. Yeah, it's been a good show. Interesting stuff about the royal baby. I thought Spencer would have been in the name, though.
Now, there's a thought. Yeah.
As in Frank.
Yeah, to commemorate Diana. Yeah. But...
Or Frank. Betty. A joke which actually is now paled because there was a time where any comedian or indeed impressionist would have to do a beret on the head and indeed do a Frank Spencer impression or indeed throw the beret off the head and then say they're a rock and roll star called Chuck Beret.
Oh dear.
It's very true. Yes, so we've still got the excitement of William Sitwell to work through, but you had a chance to actually reflect on the CLA Game Fair. What did you make of it last weekend and on Saturday where we were out on location?
I thought it was really interesting, and I'm glad that it wasn't too hot because I don't think I could have walked around it in that baking hot sun, but we had a nice breeze and it was fun to meet up with you and Ed again.
Well, you know, we like to feel that we are available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals and various other things. You want a bit of light levity brought to your average funeral, then Wellman and Leftuke will be on the case.
Did you enjoy your tour of Birmingham, Alex?
Superb. You know, I feel as though my life is now almost complete. I say almost because if it was complete, obviously there'd be no point in carrying on with the show, really.
But you got to see Edgebar. Baston, cricket ground.
And the outside of it, at least, you know, we didn't actually wander into the whole thing. But yes, it's psyching me up, really. Psyching me up for when we have an English rose blooming in country music. That would be Abby Bridgman, who's joining us on the show next week. And a relatively typical childhood, grew up near Liverpool in the Irish Sea. Typical, at least, until Abby was 15 years old, when she suffered a serious back injury during her Duke of Edinburgh expedition. The injury put an end to Abby's sporting dreams, and she spent the next year and a half in and out of hospital on very strong painkillers, including steroid and spinal anaesthetic injections to ease her pain. Her entire life was turned upside down. Time and intensive physiotherapy allowed her to return to a state of fitness, and now look at what she's actually doing. She is actually one of our ace singer-songwriters, courtesy of Cameron Tilbury, and indeed will be producing a whole heap of other goodies, which we'll be speaking to you about with next Wednesday. So there we are, a life-affirming tale there, a little teaser ahead of Annette Andre's audio missive, and indeed Arthur Weingarten. And Peter Franklin from New York is joining us. So will you be tuning into that, Kate Grimmison?
Yeah, of course. I tune in every week. Well, when I'm going to try and catch the whole show next week, because I'm always out on Wednesday, but I'll try and catch the start.
Did you catch Penny Evans' little number yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Well, you'll have to go back to the Podbean cast, because I'm not going to be playing it again today, just in case you're sort of thinking, oh, go on.
It is on the YouTube, isn't it, Katie? We have seen it there.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, you'll be able to hear Phil Leonis's comments about the whole thing, and Penny actually tagged both Phil and Ed and myself, you know, apropos of that. So, yeah, tagged the whole range of things there, which is great stuff. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Katie?
Well, I'm going to be working on my next blog for Radio Warwickshire getting some dissertation stuff done.
Yeah, just multitasking, you see, that's great. It just helps in every sense of the word. Coming up next, as promised, we'll be finding out about the stresses and strains that can be put on relationships post-baby, not so much post-traumatic stress disorder, more post-baby relationship stressors. Penny Mansfield and Dr. Simon Moore will be up for that. Time for Orbital, time for the Val Kilmer movie that was called The Saint. Last two questions for Katie Grimmison. Ed?
Katie, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I have indeed.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again soon?
Yeah, of course you can.
Bye-bye, Katie.
Thank you, Grimmy.
Bye.
Nice weaving in of the original Saint theme by Leslie Charteris as well into the Orbital number there. So, don't let baby tears tear you apart is the feature that we're looking to go to now. New parents cite lack of sleep as the biggest negative effect on their relationship after having a baby. Family breakdowns in the UK cost around £46 billion every year, and a relationship charity has published advice on helping prevent constant crying of a baby from a straining relationship. So hopefully we'll be speaking to Penny Mansfield, the director of One Plus One and author of Sleep, Sex and Sacrifice, and psychologist Dr. Simon Moore shortly on the production. We're having one or two slight telephonic challenges, but that's communication for you. I think hopefully we're getting ourselves together from that perspective. And all being well, we can welcome Dr. Simon Moore and Penny Mansfield live to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Let's go to Penny first. Are you indeed there, Penny?
I am. Good morning.
Splendid. That's true joy in technology. So don't let baby tears tear you apart. This is, I mean, obviously it ties in with the happy event we've been still 3 days after as we celebrate Prince of Cambridge's fourth day on the planet Earth. It could relate to that. But this is for any new families who sort of have just worked through this. Caring for a crying, hungry and temperamental human being, small human being admittedly, around the clock is quite a tough task.
It certainly is. And I wouldn't say just necessarily the baby's temperamental. Crying is what babies have to do in order to communicate with us. But the point is that they're crying. I mean, obviously, some babies might be more sensitive and cry a lot more. But crying has an impact upon us, which I think Simon would have quite a lot to explain about that.
Well, we've
heard. Yeah, I mean, Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Simon, good to connect with your good self. We've heard the line, love will tear you apart, but obviously tears will tear you apart.
Yes, well, it's a new thing. So for, you know, new parents, it's a big change. And from a psychology perspective, we don't do all well with change, whether we like to admit that or not. So change isn't good psychologically for us because it kind of creates lots of different kinds of, I suppose, attentional deficits. So we get depleted resources. We have to divert kind of things away from things we're used to. We get attention loss. So all these things can affect us, not just psychologically within ourselves, but obviously with partners, etc., etc. So we kind of have to deal with a lot more. And this also results in direct kind of physiological reactions. So we, at this particular time, new parents will have a lot more stress hormones. They'll have certain parts of their brain that are actually activated that are not normally. So all these things, you know, add on and cause these kinds of stress events. It's not surprising that, you know, new parents, you know, are under the cosh.
It was reported recently that Prince William changed the first nappy, or did the first nappy change. Is it very much a case of, you suggest parents should work as a tag team in terms of this system and actually take turns in terms of answering the cry, the call and so on?
Definitely. I think that's the thing is you know, you are in it together, or at least you should be. And actually by being in it together, you'll get to know your baby, and you'll find the things that work. And it won't be a question of, one person takes charge of one thing and then feels resentful because the other person doesn't get involved. And if they aren't involved, then it feels as though they're not supporting you. So from the get-go, try and do it together and share the good and the bad. I mean, when it is a really tough time, you've had a night of being woken up and a baby who's been difficult to soothe, instead of sort of blaming each other, just take turns. One person might be slightly less stressed than the other, so let that person do the best that they can while the other person, the other parent, calms down. And that kind of approach can actually keep you connected rather than make you feel that you're on different sides.
Seems to me that this is something which is basic common sense, but is something which would actually help relationships across the terrible twos, across the adolescent years, all sorts of things, although adolescents not necessarily known for bursting into tears in the middle of the night. Actually, I'll rephrase that. Yes, they are, but there we are.
Well, we have lots of people who come to the Couple Connection, which is our web service for couples, and they give a lot of advice to each other. And I think one of the things is that trying to remember simple things, which is, yeah, you need to soothe the baby, you need to soothe yourself, and one way in which you can be soothed is to have a partner who is trying to support you. Little things like that, if you just keep on remembering them, when things are difficult, and they will be, they'll get you through it.
Ed, thoughts from yourself? This makes me, even the thought of actually having a child, sort of just terrifying. But carry on, Ed, from your own perspective.
Is there evidence, Penny, to suggest that on the second child or the third child that things do get a lot easier?
Well, I think yes and no. I mean, usually yes. I mean, just because people have done it once and they've got some idea about what they're doing. But you can actually have a second baby who's much more challenging, and that can be a real shock. You know, first baby is one that sort of, you know, goes down to sleep when you want, and then the first baby, and the second baby is suddenly one who seems that is very, very difficult to soothe. That can really shock parents. So we never assume that having got it together over the first one, the next baby, or even the baby after that, if you have a third one, is going to be, a walkover. Every baby is an individual, and every baby will be different.
Yeah, I would agree with Penny. I mean, I had a girl to start with who was, you know, great, and then I had a boy, and that was a real bombshell. And I think we're still dealing with it now. He's two, so yeah,
it's, I'm sitting
here with kind of like my eye bags kind of in the studio.
So the key thing is when we actually move from that sound, we hear those things. You know, I mean, as human beings, as mammals, we're already sort of thinking, oh, what's going wrong with the whole thing? And it just gets louder and louder. You would say, share the pain, share the scenario, don't ignore them. Because, I mean, I know some sort of therapists have actually said you should just ignore your child. Surely not.
Psychologically, I don't think you're programmed to ignore that sound. Yeah. We know from research that, you know, this sound is quite unique in its kind of cause of reactions from a basic physiological perspective. So, it triggers parts of the brain that other sounds don't. It causes, you know, it raises blood pressure very quickly, and also we get another reaction in what we call skin conductance, which is a readiness to act. So even with people who don't want children, who are not parents, it has the same effect. So there's a very basic psychological reaction.
And ultimately you actually want to get to the sound of a happy baby.
Yes, or not that sound.
Exactly. Or not that sound, exactly. I don't know.
And what you also don't want is in the background an unhappy partner who's actually shouting at you or, you know, banging doors or whatever. So I think basically in terms of the whole family's well-being, we just want people to be able to communicate well, support each other. And I say your baby's communicating with you when they're crying. Also, it's an opportunity to show, you know, to be affectionate towards that baby, to comfort it. And actually what it can arouse in you is looking on the positive side, is an awareness of how important it is to do that for each other. You know, we all need to be loved and supported and cuddled.
We'll just take that site once again, Penny, in terms of the best way people are listening to this and want to find out further information. Where can they go to?
Go to thecoupleconnection.net, which has got lots and lots of information. It's got a very interesting How to Argue Better course online, and it's got a forum where you can talk to other mums and dads.
Penny Mansfield and Simon Moore, it's been a delight to share some thoughts with your good self on this wonderful world of don't letting the baby tears tear your couple relationship apart. We've got two final questions for both of you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition this morning?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you.
So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future and keeping those happy babies happy?
Yeah, love to.
Yeah.
Excellent. Penny Mansfield and Dr. Simon Moore, a psychologist, of course, and director of 1+1 and author of Sleep, Sex and Sacrifice in the case of Penny. We salute you. Take care now. See, I think that would actually help if your baby's crying. I mean, we should have actually asked Simon Moore and Penny Mansfield about that. Well, you know, they are the experts in such things. Or maybe it's just the parent that's the expert. Or maybe if you want a genuine expert.
The finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights. And the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
William, you're a father. I mean, did you find that you were sort of stressed? Did you used to take turns and so on? I've just been speaking to Dr. Simon Moore and Penny Mansfield about new parents citing lack of sleep as the biggest negative effect on their relationship after having a baby.
Well, that is one of the weird dilemmas of humanity, which is that if you know, giving birth doesn't kill you, the sleep deprivation does.
Yeah.
If it doesn't kill you, it drives you crazy. I think it's a very tough time, a very emotional time. I think the word is, it's a very special time. I think that's the current phrase, isn't it? I remember I had, my wife had our first child, Alice, just a stone's throw from where I'm talking to you today, in Queen Charlotte Hospital.
Yeah.
And as I held my sort of 15-minute-old baby daughter, Alice, in my arms, I looked out of the hospital of the window and down into the yard of Wormwood Scrubs and watched prisoners doing their sort of early morning circuit on a sort of cold, frosty March morning. And I thought, I hope my daughter doesn't end up in prison.
Very true.
So far,
all's good.
11 years on,
nice.
She hasn't been either arrested or locked up.
Result, William, result. Kind of... High fives all round for the Sitwell household. Yeah, great stuff there. Anyway, let us move on because there's the a certain sort of sister-in-law of course, the Duke of Cambridge, and might be sort of quite pleased in a sense that she's now an aunt. She has become, one has become an aunt, who also can possibly include this with Waitrose food, perhaps, or perhaps not.
You have to draw your own conclusions, but I think what you say is and done early is actually correct.
Yes, exactly. That's very true. And will Waitrose and Waitrose will be going into this post-Royal scenario saying, what's the best thing to actually sort of deal with the culinary delights in what will actually officially be the Midweek Drive Morning Edition's final say on the Royal Baby? We've done it big over. We've had the Ukrainian view. We've had the Tyneside view. We've had Richard Fitzwilliam's view. We've had the psychologist post-baby relationship stress view. We've speculated on the speculation to comment on those speculative things. And after this, William, I think it's, we round it off with the creme de la creme.
I get the final word, though.
Yes.
Will I and Waitrose Kitchen Magazine be cynically cashing in on the birth of Prince George of Cambridge, named, incidentally, after my brother?
Nice.
And the answer is no, actually. We don't need to.
Yeah.
We don't need to. We don't need to produce special celebratory issues of the magazine. Every issue celebrates life and all of its bounteous, delicious beauty. So we shan't be commenting on it. What's to say, you know?
Exactly. This is great. I was actually sent an email by a company that should remain nameless saying, what are you going to buy, baby Prince Cambridge? Nothing, actually.
See that woman in the crowd giving Prince Charles a tenner? He accepted it. Stuffed it in his back pocket. I hope he remembers to hand it over or you know, to stop by a little shop and buy a cuddly toy for Kate.
It's always that, because I mean, they might be short of the old cuddly toys, I would have thought. So that's
I drove to on Tuesday morning. I came into London. I took a little detour on my bicycle and went down, I think it's called South Wharf Road, which is the road outside the entrance to the Lindo Wing, and had a look at the encamped press corps. And it was quite astonishing. It does sort of tickle me that the media cover it, and then they sort of look at themselves covering it, and they say, have we covered it too much? And we just punters just sit there and sort of, you know, do what we're told and read and lap it up. There's a very, very good picture on the Telegraph website, I suppose, yesterday, where there's not just a 380, I don't know what you call it when there's a view of the entire universe around you from one particular camera. I'm not sure how they do it, but it's not 360, it's everything. You know, it's sort of, you know, 3D, not 3D, but anyway. And you can scroll around, you can see you've got Prince William and his wife holding a baby in the middle of the street. And then you can scroll around, you can look up the sky, look down at the earth, see all the press corps. Amazing picture. But anyway, there we are. And how appalling that the press corps moved out and just left cartons and, you know, what, you know, pizza and can't they
be better animals.
Than that?
That's why you call them press
hounds.
Can't they
be better than that?
Yeah, exactly. It's very sloppy.
It's one of the great scourge of our age, isn't it? Is the cartons left over by from coffee brands.
Precisely.
And those, you know, emanating out of Seattle, polluting the world with their plastic.
Exactly.
We should all carry around with us China cups when we want that cup of coffee, so we don't have to pollute.
And ensure that the little finger is raised slightly when consuming tea, certainly. Moving on to a little urgent thing, which I think we need to obviously use the global reach of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition here with Siren FM and sirenonline.co.uk. There was a request that you put up on your Facebook piece, William, earlier this week on Tuesday, looking for views on the best Indian restaurant in Toaster. But yes. Looking for local knowledge only and no jokers, this is serious.
I think that anyone who, you know, when you get the idea in your head that you need Indian food, and it becomes an obsession,
yes,
and you're like a drooling dog until you get it. And I think my appetite was wet by watching Rick Stein, the last edition of his Indian Odyssey, whatever you call it, which was, I think, one of the best things he's ever done. Worked with David Pritchard, who of course discovered and worked with Keith Floyd for years. You know, he discovered him as a sort of crazy restaurateur down in Bristol, and he's worked with Rick Stein for many years, and he's the most brilliant producer director, and he's made this incredible series, and anyone who hasn't seen it should get onto the BBC iPlayer and have a look at it, because it is wonderfully shot, very natural, witty, and Rick Stein is one of the great extemporizers in television, in my view. Anyway, so it's got my juices going, and I was driving back from London on Tuesday evening. I had this obsession, I have to have curry. And you know, you even go into the restaurant, you can't even speak until you've eaten it, and then you stuff your face, and then you're full of regret, and it's all fantastic. So I was told that there was a restaurant in an Indian takeaway in Chelsea called Dil Raj, and I couldn't get hold of them. 118 gave me the wrong number, so I asked for a refund. They're sending me a cheque for £2.59. Can you believe it? What a waste of money. Yeah. And I got there. Dil Raj was no more. It was an empty shell. There wasn't even any signs of a papadum, a chapati, no taka dal, no green chicken chili masala. But I found a place called the New Bikash, and they have what I wanted.
Which is good.
All was well that ends well.
That's a relief, has just gone round the whole system. Ed, have you had that experience? Can you identify with the hunger for curry? Suddenly it's there and you just have to have it.
That's why you end up having about 18 papadoms, isn't it, when you get there? Because the will to eat is just so great. But, I mean, I often don't think about Indian food very much, but I certainly am doing now. And that feeling you were just describing about having to find it.
Get a cup of tea and have a curry after the show.
Should we go for a broken Josh this morning?
Whatever. Exactly.
But I just for a minute. William, if you were round at Will's and Kate's house this morning, given it's their first morning back home, or is it their second, what do you think would be a right royal breakfast to serve up for a new mum? What would Kate be up for?
I think you'd have to serve out a dish of eggs Cambridge.
Oh, yes.
Nice. You see, that's why he nails it.
Quality that we expect from you, William.
In the words of groovers who like Ibiza and Iron Napa, etc., William Sitwell, he nails it.
Eggs
he kills it.
Cambridge.
He kills it. Yeah, give it large.
And when I've worked out what it is, I'll put the recipe on my Facebook page.
Exactly.
Good man.
And the last two questions for William are...
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning, William?
Well, but of course, some traditions are sacred.
You're a good man. And can we look forward to doing this again soon?
That'll be next week.
I believe so. Yay. I think next week will be good.
This is great. We can introduce you to our Pro Vice Chancellor, Scott Davidson, Professor Scott Davidson. He'd be in the house. I'm going all sort of, in my advancing chronologically gifted times, I'm becoming sort of quite a rap
street.
Street.
Street. Street this morning.
Street.
Very street.
It's very important. Here are the Hoosiers. Run, rabbit, run. Driving in today, not just the rabbits that need to actually run, the hares of course, the pigeons while they fly, and inevitably don't forget about those hedgehogs. They start crossing the road, and if you see them in the middle of the road, you just think, go hedgehog, run with your little legs. Katie Grimerson has said she's also craving an Indian meal. Well, why not? I don't know whether we can actually supply one or ship one over. We'll try. Part of the Midweek Drive magic. But keeping the Midweek Drive magic going in its own unique way, we turn now to another gentleman who's becoming a regular, much as William Sitwell has, much as Ian Lennox, Richard Fitzwilliam, Minty Steed, Ed Al, have all taken part in this whole thing, because he is a top writer, a top producer. Obviously, we're focusing very much on the Bugle Boy tour. There are other things as well. But Den Stevenson, good morning, sir. Are you there?
I am here and very much looking forward to our chat.
Oh, goodness. Well, not just that, but you brought a magical piece of musical stuff with us today, which has a genuine introduction and keeps the Miller family in full force, which
it sure does.
Exactly so. And nicely dovetails with some of Michelle Monroe's wonderful selections that she provides from the back catalogue of her late father, Matt. So great news as far as that's concerned. We're only a week away, of course, from the official Darlington Civic Theatre production of Bugle Boy, and all be well, should be able to get along to that. Will you be up in Darlington yourself, Dan, or is it a case of no, I let the team go out there and I sit in the office like a Churchillian figure mapping out their things on a large planet Earth map?
You're joking, aren't you? Last year I was actually dressed up in the gear and selling the programme, so I'm not proud. I'll go out there and do my bit.
Hey, Den Stevenson in Darlington. This is good. We will hopefully sort of connect together and do a live one-to-one piece then. It's all great stuff there.
Yeah.
We're working on that basis. But as Ed has returned to the studio, and I'm just referring, Ed, that your next task actually after having sorted out whatever it was you were actually sorting out there, which is very good, is to supply an Indian package of food for Katie Grimerson, because she's craving Indian food and she needs
an Olympic Indian breakfast for Katie Grimson, complete with hash browns on the top and everything. Yeah.
It's a thought, you know, and as Dan will say, it's important to keep our Birmingham listeners happy, isn't it, Dan?
Well, it is, and they can also tuck into egg and bacon, can't they? So, yeah, as I say, it always goes with the Glenn Miller music and my book, and you come out sunny side up. So
he's just cooking with gas now.
And so early in the morning.
Early. Yes. I'll tell you early.
Precisely. Now, let's introduce this speaker. Because, well, I don't know. I mean, he actually introduces it himself. Shall we just sort of press the button, let Herb talk about it, and then come back and chat with you afterwards?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to a lady at the interval, and she said, can Herb really play the trumpet, or is it just puffing?
And in a strange way, that reminds me of something, which I felt it was sort of da 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 da.
I'm not going to come in with the trumpet solo.
No, no, I wouldn't expect you to, really. I mean, trumpets at this time of the day, it's not really the done thing, really. I haven't got the instrument warmed up. So what we were listening to there, what magic had you brought us?
Well, that was Herb. He's pushing 70 then. It was just before I put the show on for the Prince's Trust, and he was down in Southsea. And it was a great place to get the recording of the whole show. And I always loved that piece. And I must be getting a sentimental old softy these days because it almost brought a tear to my eye. I just loved the guy's blowing of the horn. It was fantastic. I think in his own way, he was probably better at that than Glenn, his more famous brother, was at playing the trombone. But, you know, it's a personal opinion. But he was a lovely guy. And he told me so much. In fact, he was absolutely instrumental in making me sort of go for a musical, because he would say things like, it wasn't that you'd read in books or what you saw on the films. You'd say, Glenn came back from college and he said, do you want to hear what I just learned in the college band? And so I had an idea of how he phrased his words when he spoke, which is very important for a guy if you're writing a dialogue. And so everything that I wrote, it sort of had a tone about it. And Herb, I gave him the draft, he said, yeah, I could hear Glenn saying that. And so, yeah, it was true. It was absolutely ideal. And he told me so many stories that were really sort of personal to us that, you know, the general public wouldn't hear about when he was down in somewhere like New Orleans and you could hear this guy blowing a horn in the back and he was saying to Herb, can you hear that guy in the background? It's Louis Armstrong, the great Satchmo. And he was saying that I think one day this guy is going to be quite famous. Well, he wasn't far wrong with that, was he?
I think so. Ed?
No, I am completely intrigued by it.
It's a great show, and I'm looking forward to catching up with it next week and certainly sort of following through with that perspective. What about other multimedia approaches? I mean, obviously the website's got wonderful sort of tracks on the whole system. Plans for movie version of the stage show, or is that a case of, well, yes, but we can't talk about it as present?
No, I'll always talk about it. It's getting the money, isn't it? It's the hardest thing. It's
crowdfunding. Pledge, you know, let's get it out there. Let's put it to our American correspondents.
I've already written the screenplay for it, and, you know, I've always wanted to use the show, which was the most important thing, to get it out there and to bang it out there in front of the general public so that they had a proper perspective of what his life was like, and then really sort of ride the film off of the back of that. And yes, there are talks and have been talks in the last few months with regard to the screenplay.
We expect a Midweek Drive cameo, by the way. Just I just wanted to throw that in as a
nothing less.
if only sort of work through the process, but it's astounding stuff.
A little skip in the air in the Norse aeroplane, you know, dive bombing Darlington.
Didn't
both of them do that in Australia in one of the test matches, or Gower? And they got kicked out for that, didn't they? So I better be careful.
It's what happens, you know. Sometimes you just see Darlow, as indeed Northeasterners refer to the actual town, has actually just put in a bid for a massive refurbishment. But the Darlington Civic Theatre is a wonderful place. It's the Northeastern equivalent of the Theatre Royal in Lincoln. Probably about the same size as well, ironically. But there we are. It's a truly tremendous thing, and we look forward to obviously following the tour as the thing progresses from thence, which means we need to throw those last two questions at you, courtesy of Ed Wellman.
Have you had a reasonably
interactive?
Have you had a reasonably interesting...
intelligent?
Telephonic link with us this morning, Den?
All of those things and more. How about that?
Okay.
And it's always the same, isn't it, with you guys? It's a very natural affair.
Yeah, we don't take our clothes off. Not at this particular stage. Whoa.
Lovely delivery of an answer. Very poor question there. I'll try better this time. Can we look forward to connecting with you again soon?
Yeah.
You you can connect any time you want to.
Well, that'll probably be next week, I would have thought, when you know, we continue the thing going. But we'll speak about that as and when we're there. Just a reminder, tickets available, obviously, from the Darlington Civic Theatre, but the dates when it launches next week, Den, are?
Next Tuesday, the 30th, through to Saturday, the 3rd of August, and you'll be seeing all the military vehicles there, all dressed up and, you know, sort of doing their Lindy jiving outside the theatre. So it's a whole show and it's a story and it's the whole gamut.
And
go along and enjoy yourself.
We're going to be there to do a little audio postcard as well, so I'll certainly make sure that we trot along and catch up with you. Maybe on the Saturday. I don't know. Maybe even early. I don't know. We're looking at schedules. We'll obviously do a live show, but we will be there and hopefully meet up
with
you.
You're welcome anytime.
Dane Stevenson, just a generally wonderful person.
I'm not going to say anything to that. Just come along and enjoy the show, eh? That'll say everything.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your